Testing. Moan. Good morning. Harvest kids are dismissed. I want to welcome everyone this morning. You glad to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. What awesome time of worship before the throne. Amen. Turn with me to Psalm 131. Psalm 131. We have two scriptures as we begin this morning, and then a few others as the Lord leads. Psalm 131. Before we read, I'll share with you those who were here last week as the Lord gave us a word. I'm not doing a series right now, and yet the Lord was sort of bringing us back and building today. As last Sunday, the word had to do with the corporate anointing. It had to do with the time that we come together and the power that's in the sanctuary of God and how, you know, 90% of it is just showing up, just making that commitment to be there, and how your burdens are lifted and how God changes you just by coming into the presence of Christ in the midst of His people. Now today I want to go just to the other extreme for a moment, not to take away from the assembly of the saints, but I want to ask you as we begin this morning, what about the rest of the week? As committed as we are to the local body, and if you've ever been at Faith Harvest, you know that I fight a battle against lone rangerism in the body of Christ. So there's a strong word here concerning being committed in the local body. But then to go to the other direction this morning and ask you, when you're not with the body, when you're not in the assembly, when you're not with the saints, when you're not gathered together in that corporate anointing, what is God doing in your life and what is your life like? And as many of you know, from time to time there are messages here that the Lord is giving in this place that echoes what He's speaking to many throughout the country about some times of trouble that are ahead for us and some difficult times for the church. And we think about, as it was mentioned already this morning, our brothers and sisters that in other places in the world who are not free to gather without the cost of possibly losing their lives. And sometimes their services are interrupted. Sometimes they can only come together on certain occasions. And if that were to happen to you, where would you be? Where would you be if you were not able to gather with the body of Christ? Now, there's a balance here, and I'll come back to that as we close today. But remember, last week was about the corporate anointing coming together. But this week is about maturity. This week is about your walk with God apart from the gathering of the saints. Psalm 131, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. And this verse is the key verse for this morning. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. The title of the message today is Solid Food and a Cup. We're going to pray in a moment. I want you to turn back to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verses 12 through 13. It may seem unrelated, but the Lord will tie it together this morning. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You might want to just keep your place in Psalm 131 as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I stand before You as servant, as one that You have led and You have spoken to and called me apart for these purposes, yet frail humanity, Lord God. I thank You for Your anointing. I would be nothing without Your anointing. I would be nothing without Your word. I would be nothing without Your presence. I don't stand here claiming any grandness, any greatness, Lord God. But I stand here as one who says that Your strength is displayed in weakness. And I avail myself of that promise this morning. I come to You in faith and I ask, Lord God, that You would speak Your anointed word to Your anointed servants today, Lord God, that their ears would be open to hear and to receive what You are speaking. And wherever each one is in their walk with You, take this manna, take this bread, break it and bless it and give it to each one and speak and feed each one exactly what they need today. Let us take nourishment from You, Holy Spirit. that when we leave this place today, we know that we have been in the presence of a speaking God, and Lord, that we have encountered you in reality. Jesus, more than anything else, my desire is that you be displayed, you be glorified and lifted up in this place. Let anything of my personality just fall to the wayside, Lord God, and let only Christ be revealed today. We need a revelation of your heart every time we come together, and I thank you for it in advance. And it's in your precious name, Jesus of Nazareth, that we pray. Amen. Again, in Psalm 131, verse 2 is our focus this morning. And there's a picture that, as usual, that I want to develop. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. The Bible is full of teachings that are drawn from life. If you look at the parables of Jesus, I know in teaching a lot of time we say that the parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Jesus went from place to place and he drew on the metaphors of life around him. He spoke of planting crops. He spoke of many different things and he used them to illustrate spiritual principles. And the Holy Spirit has done this in Psalm 131 in a way that as we just read it, if we glance over it in our daily readings, we might miss the significance of what God is saying. When he says, I have calmed, this is David speaking, when he says, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. What on earth does that mean? Like a weaned child with his mother is my soul within me. Here the weaning of the child is used as a metaphor, and we're going to develop this for a few minutes this morning and see what God wants to speak to us. A baby is a milk drinker, amen? And we've got some babies in this church, and we got some more on the way, amen? And we all know what it's like, and I'm just going to say this once, breastfeeding, as the allegory, as the metaphor this morning. You can apply it with a bottle if you want to, but what I'm speaking up here was during a time when they didn't have bottles. And so when I say some of the things that I'm going to say, you'll understand that I'm seeing in this picture a baby who is being nursed. So babies are milk drinkers. And after a season, there comes a time in its development that it's necessary for it to be weaned. And as many of you as parents have experienced that, have been through that. In Israel, of course, it was a lot different than today. Many times a child was 6 years old before they were weaned. I know we think that's kind of bizarre, but that's the way the custom was in that day. We don't go to first grade sucking on a bottle these days, but back then the age appropriate would have been 6 to 8 years old, actually, that a child would be weaned. And if you've ever weaned a child, you know that this is a transitional time in its development. There's a period that you go through. And I know that some kids maybe are easy to wean, but for most there's at least a brief period of discomfort, right? For them, there's a period of crying for mom or crying for that bottle, whatever it may be, and of desiring that milk straight from the source rather than the sippy cup, which is the transition in our culture, the sippy cup, and then for the cup that they receive. And it's not always easy. For the child, it's a time of irritation. It's a time of discomfort. And I know that some of you will run ahead of me, and so I just put on your spiritual blinders. Go ahead and begin to look at this as a spiritual picture as I speak of these things. It's a time when a baby is being weaned, when a child is being weaned, it's a time of discomfort for them. They're being separated from something. And we'll see this develop. They are having something removed, and they don't understand why they're being separated. And so there's a time of fretting. There's a time of worry. There's a time of crying. Sometimes there's a time of pitching temper tantrums. Amen? And I want you to see it as a picture in your mind. This baby being weaned, and it's sitting on its mother's lap, as we find in this psalm. And here's a key element that I want you to see in this picture. Here's this child sitting on its mother's knee, and without me being graphic, I'll just say, here's the child inches away from what it wants, inches away from what it's used to, only inches away from what it's being deprived of. But I would ask you this morning, is it any further away from its mother? No. It's not getting the easy way. It's not getting what it wants. It's not having everything provided that it's used to having provided. And it's being given something else instead. It's being taught to eat solid food. It's being taught to take something that it's not used to taking. And it still has a longing for that which is only inches away from its face. And yet, sitting there in mom's lap, though he can't always have what he wants, he is no further from the heart of mom than he's ever been at any time. He's just as close as he ever was. Am I right, mothers? And so, he is being taught. How many of you know that, I'm using generalities. Some children are different, but as you're taking away the milk of mother, the mother's milk from the baby, and you begin to wean and you begin to give solid food, one of the turning points is when they get a taste of something they like, right? One of the turning points is when that first piece of pre-chewed steak gets on their tongue. And all of a sudden, they may still have moments that they want the other, but now they've got a taste of something better. And it's a little bit more difficult because they have to learn to gum it up until they get teeth, you know, and then they have to learn to chew, and they have to be able to swallow it and digest it. And for some, there's a period of adjustment. There's a time there. But they've gotten a taste of something that sooner or later will carry them forward so that they don't want to go back to what they left behind. There comes a time when I say he, I mean he or she. There comes a time when he sits on mother's lap and he is content with solid food and a cup. Before it was all liquid. And now he's content with solid food and with a cup. And we're going to see what these things mean in a moment. But the irritation is gone. The fretting and the anxiety are gone. And he knows how to feed himself. And again, I'm going to keep coming back to this. And yet, he or she is still right there, just as close to the heart of mom, receiving love, but growing towards maturity. Now, we're actually talking about this step of weaning this morning, and I'm going to tie it into the end times in a moment also, but I want you to understand that this is a step, but even this is not the end. The Bible speaks of a number of levels of maturity in the New Testament, using Greek words for toddler, for baby, for weaned child, for toddler, for child, for adolescent, and what is the goal is to be mature sons and daughters of God. It's a stage in our development when we come into maturity and we walk with Him as sons of God, walk with Him as Christ, walk with the Lord. And so this time of weaning takes place, and mom has had to be forceful at times, and she has had to take away his securities, that which is security to him. And yet her love, again, is as present as it ever was. There are a number of areas that this speaks to us in our growth to maturity in the Lord. There are three areas that we're being taken from in the weaning process, and then there are three areas that are being opened up to us. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Solid meat speaks of, or let me say that solid food, which we'll see in the scripture in a moment, speaks of meat. Solid food speaks of meat. It speaks of that which is the most difficult to chew and to digest. And the cup speaks of the cup of the will of God in salvation. And I'm just throwing those out there as we will come back to those in a moment. And so the first thing that we're being weaned from, there are three areas, and I'm sure there are more, but this is what the Lord gave me for today. There are three areas that we're being weaned from, and I'll share with you the importance of this in a moment. We're being weaned, number one, from the faith of others. We're being weaned from the faith of others. Now, you came in last Sunday, and I talked to you about the importance and the power of the sanctuary, and the power of the preached word, and the power of worship. And sometimes just you come in with that load upon your shoulders, and just being in the presence of God and His people, that something changes. It's not even always what the preacher preaches, but it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when you walk back out, God has lifted the burden and you're ready to go back into the battle for another week. And what a powerful thing that is. And yet there are also times that people as newborn babies in Christ, as believers in Christ, how many of you know we're not meant to remain as babies? We are to grow to maturity, and I hope you let the Lord just begin to speak to your heart this morning, that as babies in the Lord, when we come to the Lord as a newborn babe, we are carried along for a while on the faith of others. I mean, our faith is developing, but what would we do without those who come alongside of us? And to a measure, this never ends in our life. Nevertheless, there's a time that we're carried along. The faith